reading tonight is the entirety of Psalm 121. It's written in your bulletin. It's on the screen. It's also in the page of the book, the good book. We'll be focusing upon verses 1 and 2. Our new sermon series is titled Lift. The psalmist writes, I lift my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now may the words of our mouths, the meditations of our hearts, be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Well, as stated, our Lenten weekend sermon series is titled Lift. It's based on Psalm 121. This psalm has been called the Soldier's Psalm by some, possibly penned by King David as he was appealing to God to lift he and his troops up above the perils in battle. Others have titled it the Traveler's Psalm, also written by King David, who was calling upon God's protection as he journeyed. Either way, it's a universal prayer, universal for King David and people back in his day, as well as we, people in our day, as we call upon the Almighty for safety and defense as we go through certain battles and journeys as well. The psalm begins with the question, I lift my eyes to the hills, from where does my help come? It's actually one of those rhetorical questions. You know, the kind of questions that the answer is obvious, so obvious that the question doesn't even need an answer, doesn't deserve an answer. It's kind of like some of those rhetorical questions that you may know the answers to, but you don't need to say them out loud. Is the Pope Catholic? Is rain wet? Can fish swim? Do pigs fly? Are Aggies smart? Don't answer the last one. Don't answer the last one. The answer to a rhetorical question is clear without uttering a word. And yet in this psalm, the psalmist does answer so that it can be clear. Where does our help come from? Verse 2 says, our help will come from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. And even though this answer is apparent, you know, it's due to our sinful human nature to look in other places. In times of need and in times of desperate situations, we may lift up our eyes in places that are not always the place where God would choose us to look. Kind of reminds me of that 1980 Johnny Lee country and western hit song. Some of you know the words to it, right? Looking for Love, made popular by John Travolta in that movie called Urban Cowboy. You remember it, some of you? Yep. Sing it with me if you know it, just the chorus. I was looking for love in all the wrong places, looking for love in too many faces. Terrible singing. I need Tim Kamen up here singing. Yeah. The places where our eyes search for help, particularly when we're desperate or stressed or maybe we're confused. Those places tend to vary, and many times they're the wrong places. Tonight we want to visit four options where our eyes can potentially gravitate to when we're looking for help. They're written in your bulletin, down at the bottom third panel, if you want to take some notes. First of all, we tend to look down. Inherent in this psalm, it says, I lift my eyes. And so if the call is to lift our eyes, inherent in this is that the person is going through something, things are going south for them, inevitably, they're looking downward. Isn't it true? Hard times, depressing news, a defeat along the way, whatever that defeat may be in life, finances, marriage, family. Defeat leads our eyes to go from here many times to here. to look down on self, on life, on others, to have a sense of pessimism in our hearts. Down in the mouth, we say, downtrodden, downcast, hangdog, laid low. I recall playing Little League Baseball as a kid. We'd be winning the game. We'd be out in the field. And so we were high. It was the sixth inning, and the opposing team would rally their troops. And maybe we had an error by our shortstop or probably a drop ball in the outfield by the left fielder, or maybe there was a home run by the other team. And the dugout on the other team would just erupt with excitement. And we were like this, wah, wah, wah. The coach would come out of the dugout. He'd come all the way to first or to third base, and he'd start yelling at us, get your heads up. Get your eyes up. Keep your eye on the ball, he would say. So many times we look down to the dirt. Our chins become fixed to our chests. When a difficult time comes our way, we too need to keep not our eyes on the ball, but our eyes on Christ, our eyes on the cross. I recall times as a dad when my kids were young and they'd be growing up and they'd go through some sort of sadness or disappointment. Maybe they failed a test or they didn't get picked for a team, this, that, or the other. And so they were looking down. And I recall as a dad just reaching down gently with your fingers and kind of lifting up underneath that chin and helping them to lift their eyes up beyond their mistake, beyond their pain. You see, one of our human tendencies is often, so often, to look down. Number two, second option is we tend to look to ourselves, all eyes on self. You see, another place that we cast our eyes is not just to look down, but many times we look down and we look at ourselves. And it's certainly appropriate to be self-aware, is it not? We need to know what we're doing, what we're going through, to critique self from time to time. We need to look at self. But when we over-focus on self, our eyes can become too glued, too riveted, too consumed with me or with my problem or whatever the self is going through. And we slip into this poor me syndrome. So often this is rooted in being fixed on self. Self-centered, consumed with self, too much focus on me, especially when things aren't going well, not going according to plan. We have a hard time seeing beyond self. I knew two women, not members of this church, okay? I guarantee you they weren't. Two women, not members of this church, who used to have what I called a moaning contest. Other people called it someone else, but we'll stick with moaning, okay? It started off with one of them saying, it's been a bad month. I caught a cold. I was sick for 2 days. The other one would respond by saying, well, I had bronchitis. I had to see my physician, and she gave me a steroid shot. Not to be outdone, the first one would come back and say, well, my cold led to sinus infection. I had to get x-rays. Insurance didn't cover it. I had to pay out of pocket. Well, the other one had to top that by saying, well, in addition to my bronchitis and steroid shot, I had a colonoscopy and a root canal last month too. And it would go on and back and forth and on, and it would escalate as if they were competing with one another as who could feel sorrier for themselves. Sometimes we have difficulty seeing beyond ourselves and seeing that we're not the center of the universe. I'm tickled these days, and I guess I've done a couple of them too, by you know, you take your phone and you've got that little thing, and you can take a selfie, right? You can take a picture of self, and you post it. And I guess there's some fun and updating on Facebook that people can see what you're doing and that kind of thing, but, you know, maybe too much selfie picture business going on can lead us to, I think, what I would call belly button gazing. When it's all about me. And then when the pressure is on, when there's a crisis that's added to the equation, we can become even further self-absorbed. We can wallow in self-pity, unable to recognize that others have issues too. Yes, the second problem that we as humans have, in addition to just looking down, we many times tend to look and focus just upon self. The third one is this. Sometimes we do look up. Sometimes we do see hills, but they're the wrong hills. See, sometimes we do lift our eyes up. Lift our eyes beyond self, lift our eyes beyond looking down, only to focus on the wrong hill of hope. There's a true story, tragic story, told about global billionaire investor Adolf Merkel. He loved his reputation of being able to make money even when others were losing money in the stock market. In 2008, when the financial crash occurred, Merkel lost billions. And with his sense of identity being so centered and so focused on his money, he unfortunately took his life. You know, often it's when we're going through a challenging time that we look up. But we may look up at the wrong thing for our hope and for our help to get us through the fog and get us over the hump. I think we all know that more money and a new car and the latest technology or newest firearm, not even a new husband or a new wife, will solve our problems, right? Neither will overindulgence in work or food or alcohol or materialistic spending, sex, affair. None of those things will fix the situation. Looking at these things is like the person who said this: I climbed the ladder of success only to find that my ladder was leaning against the wrong wall. When we look for our ultimate help to come from people or things, we generally set ourselves up for disappointment because people and things will at some point fail us. So then where? Where then? If it's not looking down, if it's not looking to self, if it's not looking to other hills, where does the psalm direct us? Where does God direct us? He directs us to the hill. You know, I look in the Bible and so many times hills and mountains are very special places where God has a rendezvous with people. You know, God comes down and people climb up a mountain and there's something special happens. It's sort of like a halfway point between heaven and earth. God comes down, people go up. That's what happened with Noah's Ark. It came to rest on Mount Ararat. There God made peace with humanity with that rainbow of promise. Moses went up Mount Sinai. God came down, delivered the Ten Commandments, where Moses then delivered him to God's people. Abraham went up Mount Yichri, and he was about to sacrifice his son Isaac before an angel stopped him. He was being obedient, but God came down as he went up. Jesus convened with the Father, also Moses and Elijah, on a mountain where he was transfigured before them. Countless times over and over again, the people of God go up a mountain. They go up to the high places to worship God with burnt offerings and sacrifices. And of course, the mountain of mountains, the hill of hills, the one that you and I lift our eyes up to when the heat is on, is the hill where God met us in Jesus as he was lifted up. Lifted up upon a cross. We call that hill Calvary. Other translations, Golgotha. Outside the city wall, Jerusalem, where God met sinful humanity in the broken body of his son, our Savior, who hung on the cross for our sake. You see, we lift our eyes to the hills, and from where will our help come? Our help comes from the Lord, who made the heavens and the earth. And not only was he the one who made the heavens and the earth with his very own hands, but he was the one who stretched out those hands upon the cross and died for our sins. He's here again as we come up the hill, as we come up these steps, so to speak, and as we kneel at this rail. He comes down from heaven in bread and wine, in his body and his blood, to forgive sins and remind us who need a soldier psalm. Those of us who are battling something, those of us who are going through some sort of battle, you know what it is. But we look to him as we come to him and he meets us. Or we may be traveling, we need a traveler's psalm. Possibly we're lost right now in the midst of something, and we need God to guide us through with light and direction. And so we come up this hill, and he comes down from heaven. And you may kneel or you may stand, and so many times we bow our heads, do we not, so appropriately to humble ourselves before God. But then we lift our eyes up to receive the body of Christ and to receive the blood of Christ, centering ourselves on leaning on him instead of all of those other options that we may have. You know, you may want to even lift your head a little higher beyond the bread and the wine to see Jesus raising Peter out of his storm. Or maybe even a little higher than that upon that cross that's over it all, uber alles, to be reminded that the cross of Christ and his presence and his power, his promises and his peace is with us and above us always. Calls me to think about that hill just outside of Fredericksburg, Texas. Just north of town on 965. You know, it's called Cross Mountain. And that particular hill is up there all the time. Even when my view is obstructed, even when I can't see it because of the trees or the buildings, or I'm busy or I'm too stuck looking in all the wrong places, that cross is still there. That those arms outstretched are still there. Whether we see and notice or not, he's still there, reaching out to remind us. That cross is a symbol for us that he will ever watch and guard and keep and protect and guide. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, we lift our eyes into the hills. And from where will our help come from? That's a rhetorical question, isn't it?